You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This is where Wisconsin wakes up. It's Daybreak with Brian Noonan and Jamie Martinson. Here are your hosts, Brian and Jamie.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Hey, how are you? It's 6:06.
Good. Welcome back.
Thank you
so Jamie
much.
Yes, Jamie is back. This is Daybreak. So you decided to grace us with your presence again.
I did.
Where were you? What was going on? What did you do? Did you bring us back souvenirs?
All the big questions. We had so many suitcases and everything was full because what you forget is when you're doing basically an 8-day trip, it requires a lot, especially when you need the carry-on so that you can do air travel. And then you have to come back and you have to have like the big suitcase for all the meetings and all of that. So no, nobody got souvenirs, including us, which was sad and a little depressing, but we did get good memories, so that's good. But no, it was a whirlwind trip. It literally started last Saturday morning, so a week ago over the weekend. We flew out of Minnesota, and then we ended up after a 14-hour travel day. Let me tell you, 14 hours of air travel.
Can we jump back for a minute? Because this was the money-saving flight that your husband found took you to Baltimore and then Brazil and then
yes,
to Boston.
Yes, this is exactly. Now, okay. What I love about this trip is my husband decided that he was going to, because he didn't want to deal with the crowds because of how early we had to leave. So he's like, all right, let's just fly out of Rochester. Now, the best part about this is when he looked at the schedule, when he looked at the drive time of getting from our house to the Rochester airport, he's like, oh, it's going to be about 3 hours. Well, of course, he did it during rush hour. It's like 2 hours. So he has us out of the house at 6 a.m. for a 10 a.m., 10:30 flight, right? So we get to the Rochester airport. We're driving. And he says to me as we're driving, check the parking at the Rochester airport. And I said, it's the Rochester airport. It's not going to be that big. Well, you aren't going to just pull up to the front door. Turns out at the Rochester airport, you do pull up to the front door. And you take six steps to get inside. So then we.
But where do you leave your car?
There's just a big parking lot. It's one big parking lot. It's literally six steps from the front door, which is crazy. And when you get in, there's literally five gates. That's it. All on one level. I think there was an upstairs for gates 1 and 2, but the gate we needed was on the main level. So we sat at the bar. He had a lovely morning drink after he realized that his license was expired and then had to renew it sitting at the bar. Turns out that if your license expires, you can fly on it for 2 years. Yes, 2 years. We checked into it. You can fly with an expired license for 2 years, folks. Just
that
a little
seem
tip.
Safe.
It doesn't seem safe. We were surprised.
But take your shoes off.
That's right. But in the state of Wisconsin, you can renew your license online. So he did that, sitting at the bar, enjoying a very early morning drink. We got on our nice flight to Minneapolis, where we had a 3.5-hour layover. And then finally, we were able to travel. Never. It was a 14-hour day before we got to Boston late on Saturday night. In fact, he looked at me and goes, do you want to go out to dinner? I said, no. I said, I want to go to the motel, and I want to DoorDash something, and we'll start
it's 14 hours.
It was such a long day.
That's why people hate travel. I've only done a layover once, and I swore I would never do it again. I would rather walk than have a layover.
Unfortunately,
you're just wasting time.
Yes.
You're just wasting time.
Unfortunately, with the way air travel is right now, with a lot of the places we've had to go recently, we haven't had a choice. Layovers were literally our only option. But we had a lovely time on Mother's Day in Boston. Got to see so many of the historic sites. And I mean, this was a whirlwind tour, right? Like we had a day and a half before meetings and things. And then before we had to fly out on Tuesday, but we got to see a lot of the city. So I was excited about that. Boston is just one of those great East Coast cities. It's got that big city vibe, but it's a lot more laid back than like a New York, right? So I can always get into Boston. Super,
plus a better accent.
Yes.
More Duncan.
Yes. And then had dinner in the North End and some real homemade Italian on Mother's Day. So with a bakery that was open 24 hours that had some of the best cannoli I've ever had in my life.
Wow.
So there's that part of it. Had our meetings on Tuesday, and then we got back on a plane Tuesday afternoon, flew back to Rochester on Tuesday night.
Rochester.
Yes, and we got back to Rochester about 11:30. Then we had to turn around and drive back to Minneapolis, where we had already had a layover. And then we got to the hotel about 12:30. And our next conference for the Big Deals program, all of these really great certificates that you can buy at a discount throughout the Civic Media Network. Check the app, by the way. We had a convention for that for a couple of days. Saw some folks from the Civic Network. Saw some folks that we just have known for a really long time at this convention. So it was good to be in Minneapolis. Had a nice boat trip one night for the little bit of a fun mixer with a live band. So we got to do
sure,
that.
It's a convention. You get to do those kind of fun things.
Some barbecue and all of that on a boat. And it was a gorgeous night on the Mississippi River in St. Paul before the wind kicked up the next day. And then we got done with the convention Thursday at around 11:30. And we got in the car and we drove to Ely, Minnesota, because for a really long time we've been trying to put a big FM signal on the air. And they finally got some antenna bays. So watch for more news if you are a fan of Ely, Minnesota radio. And hello, anytime you wake up on a Saturday to Polka Hour, it's a good day. Now, what I will say is that the trip ended with me having the stomach flu and having to drive home like that on Friday, on Saturday. And my husband is also sick.
Terrific. So what day will you be taking off because you're sick now this week?
I will not. Is that tomorrow? I am fine. I am 100% feeling better. I don't know what it was. It was like probably a 24-hour bug. And by yesterday afternoon, I was feeling 100% better.
Well, that's good.
But my husband, not so much. He's not feeling so great. He thinks it's COVID. He's tested.
Oh, jeez.
I don't know.
Parker makes Jamie wear a mask so you don't get...
I'm negative. We've been testing.
I was wiping down the studio all of last week because I was sick last week.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I've been testing in case. But it was a fast trip. It was a good trip. And but, you know, anytime you walk into the door and you're greeted with puppy kisses and things, it's even better to get home.
She made it through. That's good.
She did.
I'm finding the easiest job in the world would probably be your travel agent, because you don't care where you're flying in and out of. You will take whatever haphazard flights I could muster up.
I am telling
that
you.
That
is the most inconvenient flight.
To fly out of Rochester, literally, to fly from Rochester to Minneapolis to Boston, saved us almost $150 per person per leg of the trip. If we would have just gone to Minneapolis, and then it was going to be almost $1,500 per person to fly from Minneapolis to Boston. By taking the Rochester route, we were able to save about $150 to $200 per person per leg. That is how air travel is right now. So
why I stay home. That's why I don't take a day off. I just stay home. We don't need to go anywhere.
If we can't travel, book early.
We ain't going.
Yeah. If you have to travel, book early. That would be. And this one was one that we tried to book early. The Boston trip was it was business meetings, essentially, why we were there. So that kept getting moved by the people we were meeting with on their end. So we couldn't just lock in a date, and we couldn't just say, this is when we're going, because we had to wait on their schedule. So, but we made it. It's good.
Well, you didn't miss anything last week. Nothing happened. There was no news.
Boring.
We basically just made animal sounds. We sang parody songs. Parker played the spoons for, I think, 2 hours on Friday. It was
at least two
hours. It was a great. I do want to just say one thing for our executive producer, Frank. Let's go White Sox. But now we move on from that. And did you guys experience?
Yeah, you just move on, Brian. Dang.
Frank?
Keep it moving.
Frank, weren't you at
that
game
yesterday?
2 out of 3,
first place.
You
That's
were,
all I want to say.
You were at that game yesterday, I believe?
I was at that game yesterday. Mm. Mm.
How was that feeling?
I was angry.
I'll tell you,
no
I listened for the first time. I went old fashioned. I listened to the whole game on the radio. It was magical.
Listen to Len Casper.
Nice.
I listened to Len Casper, former Cubs play by play man. Darren Jackson still needs to go. I will say that as a Sox fan. But it was so nice to just be like out working in the yard or whatever and then sitting and relaxing, listening to the game on the radio.
Yeah.
So, you know, we carry the Brewers game on this, the Brewers games on this network.
Mm-hmm.
I say, listen on the radio once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
Sit outside or take a drive, listen to the game. It really kicks up your imagination, and depending on how good the announcers are, and the Brewers have a great radio team, you're going to get the picture anyway. It's terrific. So,
yeah.
And I got to text a little bit during the game to my good friend Frank.
Which
Brian initiated.
I did.
You still don't look
happy.
He
said, how are you feeling? He said, how are you feeling when the Cubs were down 3 and then they tied it up? And then Brian sent me a curse word, thinking that the tables were going to turn. Don't worry. The Cubs turned into the Cubs.
Well, the Sox turned into the Sox. That's the problem. Yesterday they did not. So that was fun. All right. Parker, Jamie, did you experience the mesoscale convective vortex yesterday?
What?
No.
I figured Jamie would know what this is. Dane County experienced a mesoscale convective vortex yesterday morning that triggered phone alerts, according to a meteorologist with the National Weather Service. Weather was bad across the center, southwest to the northeast in Wisconsin. Weather was really, really bad yesterday.
It was really bad, and we've already had thunderstorms this morning. Very warm, very humid today. But in case you're wondering, if you saw those alerts on your phone yesterday, a mesoscale convective vortex is this low-pressure center that pulls winds into a pattern that almost looks tornadic because they start circulating. And so they issued a tornado warning because of that yesterday, you know, and if you were sitting at home going, what is happening? Not much, as it turns out. The sirens went off. You had all the alerts on the phone. There was a little bit of wind and then a whole lot of rain for, I don't know, about 5 minutes or so. And then within about an hour and a half, the sun came out. And
that's
then,
nice.
Yeah, so it wasn't anything too bad. I will say, though, that all of the travels we've had across the state over the last few days, holy buckets, are we lucky to have the moisture we have here in this portion of the state compared to what they're dealing with in the north. It is drought city up there. Bone dry. Like, scarily so, especially with the fact that, you know, camping season and boating season and people are starting to come into the area.
Yeah,
it is scary.
Pulled the
up there.
Berm permits again on Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
That
it
whole
is.
Area. No fires, no nothing.
It's so weird because they actually in Ely just lost snow about a couple of weeks ago, literally. So the trees are just starting to bud up there when you're walking around Ely. There is absolutely no leaves yet on trees because it was so cool. In fact, when we left the other day, it was going to be a high of 58.
Nice.
Jeez.
Well, Jamie's back. Things are back to normal. And are you worried about measures by the administration to affect elections? Well, we'll talk about that and more. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. 6:19 right now. You are listening to the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Wisconsin wakes up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
6:22 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. This is the Civic Media Network. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. If you want to get involved with us, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. How worried are you about measures by this administration to affect elections? Jamie, I know you were in one of the hotbeds of democracy, one of the birthplaces of our nation last week.
I couldn't handle it.
The foolishness continues everywhere else. I don't know how it was playing in Boston, but here in Wisconsin, a lot of it did not play well. Well, this isn't going to play well either. The Trump administration has run millions of voter registrations through government databases to determine their eligibility. Now, it's a process that critics are worrying could end up purging valid voters from the rolls before the November elections. And I'm going to wager a guess that doesn't matter to the administration.
No.
Only the right people need to vote.
Right.
At least 67 million registrations, primarily from Republican-controlled states, have gone through a beefed-up verification program at the U.S. Department of Homeland Security. Tens of thousands of those have been flagged as potential non-citizens or people who have died. Now, some states allow only a month for people to prove their eligibility, and others suspend it immediately. The scanning of state voter rolls at the national level is part of a broader plan, and we've been talking about this for, well, the last year or so, by the Republicans to federalize certain election functions and promote the messaging that elections are marred by non-citizen voting, even though instances of that are rare. Voting and civil rights advocates say the DHS system is error-prone and can mistakenly flag people who are eligible to vote. It already has flagged people mistakenly, and this is, once again, between this and the gerrymandering, man, you realize how terrified this guy is of what will happen if the Democrats take control of the House. He knows. It's not, and at this point, it's not about his policies. It's not about anything to do with the good of the country, because as he said last week, he doesn't think about Americans' financial situation at all. This is about, he knows at some point he's going to be brought up on legit charges.
Mm-hmm.
And he is, there. The question of all the money that he has made over the last year, the question of everything else is going to come into play. If the Democrats take control, he will be impeached, and this time he probably will be convicted if the Senate flips too. That's all he's worried about. So whatever they can do to ensure their victory, they are doing, and it's brazen, and nobody's doing anything to stop it.
No, and I mean, all of this is happening against a backdrop that we've already lived through and have been living through for multiple years. The 2020 election was one of the most scrutinized in history, including here in Wisconsin. And I'm sure you talked about it, but just last week, let's remind anybody who wasn't able to join, there were reports of federal agents showing up at the home of a Milwaukee County election official from the FBI. And so as we're watching that play out, this is, as you mentioned, a nationwide effort. And essentially, this comes down to the Republican Party trying to erode trust in our election process, because it's not just about the ballots. We need to depend on us. We need, as voters, to be able to know that the system works. And when election officials feel targeted, or when voters hear about, you know, these mass checks that could mistakenly flag eligible voters, it starts to create doubt. And that doubt is going to start spreading quickly. And, you know,
he's been spreading this doubt, though, since 2016. It was even before his first election. It was, if I don't win, it's rigged. If I don't win, it's rigged. And you keep pounding on something so long, there's enough. Because other than the hanging chads, do you remember, you know, there were close elections. There were blowout elections. And people just, if they lost, they lost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they challenged the Chad one because that was a little different. But then, even then, once it was over, Al Gore's still not complaining about losing that election.
No, that went all the way to the Supreme Court, right?
Right.
And he was able to accept the results and step back. I think the thing that bothers me the most about this is the election workers, because these are local folks. These are people you know. These are people who probably have, you know, kids in your kid's school, probably, you know, shop at the same grocery store. You know these people because they're part of your community. And they're not usually in the spotlight, and they're responsible for making sure that these elections on a local level are run fairly and accurately. accurately. So if they feel intimidated or they feel like they're being pressured, I think this is going to make it much harder to recruit and retain people willing to do that work. And I think that is also part of what is motivating this particular Republican Party right now, because they want to erode that type of trust throughout the communities. And we've seen them do it, right? We've seen them do it all the way from mayoral elections, especially if you're watching in Wisconsin just this past election cycle, all the way into the school boards. They're eroding that trust every single time there's an election.
Just to reiterate, there it's not an issue. Citizenship and Immigration Services said the 60 million voter registration checks identified about 24,000 potential non-citizens. The attorney general who runs the Justice Department Civil Rights Division said during a Fox News interview, those checks also identified about 350,000 people who appear to have died, but that is a fraction of 1% of the voters.
Yeah.
A fraction. Of 1%.
I mean, and that's the argument, right? You have all these people who shouldn't vote, who keep voting. No, they're actually not. They're actually not voting, and it's been proven time and again.
We would have to have a Congress that stood up to him. We would have to have people, reporters who called him out on his BS, and we would have to have people on the Republican voter side who were not just believing what they're being told, who actually listened to everybody and looked at the court cases and said, you know what, he's wrong about this.
Right.
This is not what's happening. The Republicans said something the other day at a water park, and I'm wondering if the Democrats should follow their advice. I know, that sounds outrageous. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan.
I'm Jamie Martinson. It's 6:29 right now. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's the Civic Media Network.
Want to join in on the conversation? Call or text 855-75-CIVIC. Now back to Brian and Jamie.
6:35 right now. We hope you are having a great start to your morning. A warm, muggy day across most of the state. And maybe some rain, some thunderstorms once again. Hopefully, though, the weather will behave itself. And hopefully, we'll talk about it a little later on this morning, but hopefully the Northwoods will see a little moisture at some point, too, because, boy, they could definitely use it up there.
And I don't know, these fronts keep cutting right through the center of the state, it's going southwest to northeast or straight across west to east, and they just leave out the upper northwest quarter of the state. How about a little something for the effort up there?
Yeah, they could definitely use a little moisture. We talked about it this morning. We'll talk about how AI is going to start helping that area, too, when it comes to forest fires and things. But that will come up later this morning. But we're lucky in this part of the state because, obviously, we've had so much flooding. We don't need more flooding, but we're lucky to see the rain that we have when you look at what's happening in the Northwoods in comparison.
Have you ever thought of taking advice from Republicans? A lot of you right now are like, Brian, did you hit your head over the weekend? Perhaps I did, but that's really none of your concern. 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, because I am in bizarro world, Jamie, because I'm thinking about listening to Republicans and taking their advice. And Ron Johnson made a comment that I went, all right, we could transfer this over to the Democrats. It's good political advice. But why I'm telling you this and why we're going to talk about this is Ron Johnson said that and other party leaders were appealing for unity as they gathered Saturday for their state convention. They were up there at Kalahari Resort. So I am picturing Ron Johnson and Derek Van Orden and all the other Republicans with their skinny white legs shooting down water slides, yipping it up, having a good time, maybe getting one of those big Kalahari elephant necklaces to wear around, just having a good time. But Republicans warned against voter enthusiasm and that lack of enthusiasm could have dire consequences. Oh, I don't think voters are lacking in enthusiasm for this election, Ron. I think the enthusiasm, though, is coming against you and the Republicans. But that's just me. What do I know? The midterm elections are going to be tight. We know a lot of 14, I think we voted or counted it last.
Yes.
14 Republicans have decided to retire or not seek re-election. Good news to their families. They're all going to spend more time with their families. Yes. Quality time, Jamie. That's always good, isn't it?
Yes.
I guess. Kalahari? I mean, no, that's no shade on Kalahari.
It's a huge convention center. Huge convention center.
I know, but what is it Kalahari advertised as? It's all about water parks. That's it.
It's a fun water park. And in the Republicans' defense, the Democrats did have their convention in Wisconsin Dells last year. This year, I believe it's in Madison, but last year they also did have theirs at one of the resorts. What I thought was most interesting, because I did listen to a lot of Ron Johnson's comments, what I thought was interesting is he talked about how the Democrats always unify around their candidate.
What?
Which I thought was insanity, because going back to 2016, 2020, 2024, they don't actually unify.
Which is why I'm saying we need to take Ron Johnson's advice. We don't unify.
Right.
We can't get behind, Kamala laughed this way, Hillary this, Bernie this. Unless you're perfect.
Right.
The Democrats will fraction off. Well, I'd rather not vote, or I'd rather vote for Jill Stein as a protest vote. Hey, how'd those protest votes work out for you last time, friends? So let's take a little bit of Ron Johnson's advice, Democrats, and once the primaries are over, I don't care who that nominee is. That's your nominee.
Yeah, you get behind
them.
That's your
nominee.
Do whatever you can to get that person elected, especially in a state like Wisconsin, where we're talking about full leadership from top to bottom. I mean, right? From the governor to
the trifecta is up for grabs.
It is, absolutely. And I also thought it was interesting because in his speech yesterday, Johnson warned that radical Democrats have harnessed more voter enthusiasm in recent elections. Here's what he had to say.
And by the way, if we're engaging the circular firing squad inside UK, that's not going to be very effective. Okay? Not at all. You know, in addition to the relentlessness of the left and the effective infiltration of these institutions, you know what the left is really good at? Completely being unified. Because what motivates
them... one guy clapping in the back.
Power. It's a very unifying, motivating factor. You know, again, we're a bunch of free agents, right? We're a bunch of entrepreneurs. We have a bunch of goals, a bunch of aspirations. We don't want to be involved in government. So again, we just don't have that cohesive chromosome, I guess. But if we're going to win, we got to unify. And we got to unify now. We have no room for division. We have no room for the circular firing squad, which we are very good at. End it. End it now.
Tepid response from the room.
Very tepid. I thought he was in an empty room at first because there was a lot of echo.
There was.
The four people that were in there were like, snooze. We just had to take a break. We ate something, so we can't go back in the pool for 30 minutes. So we might as well listen to Ron Johnson pontificate. Did he go to the Donald Trump school of speech writing? Because there were a lot of inaccuracies in that little clip. And that clip was only a little over a minute.
Yes.
And there were a number of inaccuracies.
Yes. Yes. I mean,
he doesn't want to be involved in politics.
It was
the Republicans don't want to be. They stay there forever.
And I think he was also referring to the voters, because earlier in that particular speech, he goes on to talk about the lack of enthusiasm for the recent Supreme Court races and how they only had 35% of Republican turnout in just this past couple of month or so between Chris Taylor and Maria Lazar. And let's be clear. Chris Taylor Democrats didn't actually turn out in huge numbers in this particular race either.
No.
It was pretty mild across the board, but for Republicans to only get 35% of their voters out to the polls in that Supreme Court election, especially when we were talking about all of the school referendums also on the ballot across the state, it was a big sticking point for Ron Johnson and a majority of his speech in Wisconsin Dells over the weekend.
Well, the other issue was in this, Maria Lazar kind of disappeared for
a while
from the campaign. There were some missteps. She was out. She was gone. Chris Taylor was out there pounding the pavement, and people were, Democrats were more motivated,
right.
I think. There are real stakes involved in some of these elections.
Yes.
And to be honest, some of the things that Republicans run their Supreme Court candidates on are not things that the majority of the public are behind.
Right.
You can be a conservative and still be pro-choice. You can be a conservative and still want schools funded. So when you've got... And it's unfortunate that we have Supreme Court justices who are party affiliated, which they really shouldn't be, but that's another story. Then you get tarnished, you get painted with the whole brush of the
right.
Republican Party.
Right. Alicia chiming in over on our YouTube chat this morning. She says, Republicans aren't cohesive. They literally follow lockstep behind the president.
Yes.
Yes, right. That's absolutely 100% true. Yes. If you want to chime in this morning, 1-855-752-4842, 1-855-75-CIVIC. I think the thing that bothers me most about both parties is the growing influence of the extremes, because both the Republicans and the Democrats are dealing with this. You've got louder, more hardline voices on both ends of the spectrum. And oftentimes, we've seen this happen time and again. Those voices overshadow the center, the center-left, the center-right voters, who make up a huge portion of who actually votes and how most people believe, especially in states like Wisconsin. And when governing requires compromise, right? And it requires...
Depends who you talk to.
This is true. It requires people willing to meet in the middle and actually solve problems. So most voters aren't living in those political extremes. They're somewhere in between. And right now, that middle ground feels like it's getting squeezed out. And I think...
Well, and the middle ground is also being painted as a sellout, a cop-out.
Yes.
Whereas now... To denounce Ron Johnson's unity point and back up Alicia's, the most radical part of the Republican Party has now been in control for the better part of the last 20 years.
Right.
And it is, we thought the Tea Party was radical. What's happening
right.
now is far right. When we see Christian nationalism on the rise, when we see everything that's going on with voter suppression, all of that is far, far right. The Democrats have rejected in the past the far edge of the party. Even so far, you know, Bernie Sanders was the closest that
right.
we got. Now the middle of the Democratic Party, the more moderate part, is being viewed as not radical enough.
Right.
The problem is the Democrats will not, well, I shouldn't say will not, Democrats have not rallied around some. We saw what happened with Bernie. We see anytime there's a candidate that I go back to this a lot, and you do too, the purity test. And I don't think a far, far left Democrat at this point, unfortunately, will get the backing, which they should. If they're
right.
whoever it is, I don't care where they fall in line. If they're, and I'm not talking about a John Fetterman Democrat.
Right.
I'm talking about a true Democrat who's going to get the work done and work, but also understands, like you said, Jamie, compromise.
Yes.
Compromise. You don't always win every battle. You cede a little to get a little.
We've got John from Oshkosh chiming in, listening on WISS this morning. He says, except the extreme on the left wants health care and good education, the extreme on the right want The Handmaid's Tale. And I think that's just it. And I don't know if the messaging around universal health care, for instance, has been as good as it could for some of those rural voters to really understand what that means, especially when the messaging from the Republicans to counter that is always so much stronger. Right?
It is. John points out, and John, I'm going to find a little fault with your argument there. You point out two areas that the whole left wants.
Right.
Not just the extreme left aren't the only ones pushing for
right.
healthcare and good education. That's the whole Democratic Party. The problem with the far extreme left is that they start getting into things that are more moderate, that you can't reach out to rural voters or independents. And we know already 65% of independents have not decided who they're going to vote for in the primary. So you got to reach those people. And you have to realize, in a pie in the sky leftist progressive world, some of these policies make sense. But in the real world, they don't fly. And if that makes me old or a sellout, whatever it is, I also am a realist.
Right.
And I say, all right, yes, what's most important? Healthcare, education, taking care of our the elderly, taking care of food, homelessness. That's the most important part. Some of this other identity stuff, identity politics, we don't need it. We don't need to worry about it right now. We gotta win first, work on other stuff second. I don't know. That's just me. Who knows? We're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, Jamie, this is a story we followed last week when you were not here. A giant bird has been found and returned. This is Daybreak on the Civic Media Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Local news, community stories, and the conversations that matter most. Now, more Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
We hope that your morning's going well so far. Thank you so much for joining us. If you're in Madison, listening on WMDX, in Wausau, listening on WXCO, or in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR, we are certainly glad that you decided to join the Civic Media Network this morning. My name is Jamie Martinson.
And good morning, I'm Brian Noonan. Jamie, last week when you were gone, all eyes in Wisconsin were on the skies, and not for a vortex, not for some meteorological nightmare, not UFOs, but an African stork was loose and flying around Wisconsin. It was terrifying to the pictures. If this thing landed in your yard or came down. We also mentioned we were happy you were not here during this incident, because you would have never left any. You would have never left a building.
Frank's
you would have
got
stayed
video
in.
Of me when pigeons landed near me on my trip in Boston. It was not a fine moment. I had no idea my husband was recording at that time.
Well, that's good. See, so imagine now a pigeon blown up 10, 15 times to become a giant African stork.
No.
Well, the good news is it has been caught, and it's been taken to safari in Lake Geneva. Jay Christie, who's the owner and founder of Safari Lake Geneva, said the marabou stork walked into a residential garage. imagine you're sitting in your garage watching the Brewers game, and all of a sudden this giant African stork comes strolling in. What's up?
Who's saying no, though, to a giant African stork? I mean, you're pretty much pulling up a chair and letting him sit down if that's what he wants
to do.
Can
I get you a beer, friend? I don't know if marabou storks eat brats, but I'd offer him one. So walked in. They were able to get him in some sort of a cage on a truck.
Wow.
First of all, I'm a little suspicious of anybody who's got a giant cage on a truck just sitting in their garage, just waiting. What are you using that for, friend? Oh, nothing.
Never mind.
You never know when a giant. Glad I had it now, aren't you? Well, no, Bob, you're freaking me out, really. You drive around in a cage like you're collecting children or other animals.
Right.
So the bird is now in quarantine and being examined by staff. Wisconsin residents had reported seeing the bird in the Fond du Lac, Sheboygan, Appleton, and Green Bay areas between May 4th and 8th. So marabou storks, which we talked about last week, are from sub-Saharan Africa, and there's virtually zero chance the bird flew over the continent. So the question does remain.
Where did it come from?
How did the bird get here? Yes, it has bands on its legs, so they think they think it was somewhere in a zoo or something, but there's been no news coverage anywhere of a reported marabou stork breakout.
So when they have those bands on their legs, is that like, this sounds stupid, but are those bands like when you microchip your dog? Can you scan those bands to trace back where they come from?
There's information on them. You could read the band, and it should tell you where it's, you know, some number and where they where they were. But
that's
this
why
one,
I asked, because I was like, in my mind, that would be a good identifying source to figure out maybe where this stork actually came from. But what do I know? I don't get close enough to birds to check out, you know, their jewelry.
I don't know. Nobody knows. But they do say the bands do make them believe that the stork was in human care at some point. Well, duh. Because storks aren't putting their own metal bands on. It's not like they're going to the mall to Claire's to get pierced or to get a, hey, put a cool ankle bracelet
right.
on me.
All right.
How about something for that giant beak? No, no. This speaks for itself.
I just want my bracelet. I'm fine. Thank you.
The good news is the marabou stork has survived Wisconsin and seems to be in good shape, they say, which is nice. So now the bird could find a home in Wisconsin. It'll stay at Safari Lake Geneva for now. No long-term plans for the bird as of Friday. So
maybe
they're going to have, maybe there's going to be a cookout.
Well, No, we don't want to think that. But I just realized what you were saying there, and I was like, we don't want to do that.
I just left it there.
Let it simmer.
This is a very odd story, and I was watching some of it over the course of the week as we were traveling.
We can't go home yet. There's a giant bird on the loose.
You know, I find it fascinating that nobody knows where this bird came from. Like, that's the most fascinating part. Like, just a few weeks ago, if everybody remembers, there was a baby kangaroo that was on the loose in this state, and everybody knew about it. It made national headlines. And now there's just a weird stork on the loose, and nobody has any idea what's happening.
I have a theory here.
Okay.
All right. Parker's theory. Big surveillance, Parker? What is your theory?
No, not big surveillance. I think that a zoo could not fund the bird anymore.
Oh.
And they just let it go?
Neglecting said bird. That is my theory.
Okay.
That's why no one's claiming it. Because surely, if I was a zoo, I would claim my African stork.
And they wouldn't report it then at the same time.
That's my theory.
Wow.
So they did the
equivalent
of those people who just dump a dog or something.
Yeah.
Or like bunnies.
Yeah.
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 That's why things going on here, guys.
Okay.
Wow, Parker.
Oh.
Interesting. Sleuthing.
I like that.
Parker does true bird crime podcasts. We didn't know that on the side. What happened to Jabby, the African stork? Gabby was being held by the zoo.
I'm telling you, there are
town people
who would listen to that like crazy. If
I'm
sure they would.
Yeah. Dude, for how many people believe in the birds aren't real?
No, they're real.
Was that a thing?
Birds
it was a
real.
Satirical thing.
Birds are
but
real.
But it is a thing.
No, they're there.
People think birds aren't real?
Well.
You ever been pecked in the head by one? I have. It's not fun. They're real. Real annoying. I do like to hear them chirping as I sit out on the deck. I like to see them flitting about.
Sure.
But when they're mad at you and they come zipping at your head.
Stay over there. Don't land near me. Do you know that when we were sitting in Boston Common the other day, not only did I have pigeons at my feet, but a squirrel jumped up on the bench eating a pretzel right next to me. I about lost my mind.
You Snow White?
I lost my flipping mind. No, the furthest thing from it. And I scared them all because I started screaming.
Wow. All right, well. Now I'm picturing Jamie just singing that Snow White song or whistling that tune. When we come back, we've got all the S you need to know to get your day started. Big show. There's a lot left, so stick around. I'm Brian Noonan. This is Daybreak.
I'm Jamie Martinson. 6:59 right now. This is Pacific Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.